I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 67 to 80 of Luke chapter 1 as we continue in our series about the songs of Advent. The songs of Advent. Now, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 67. Hear now the word of the Lord. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. May the Lord bless this reading of his word for us today. We're going through the playlist of Advent this year. Music makes up a wonderful portion of Scripture, and we read a lot about it around the events and leading up to and including the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Last week we looked at that important Old Testament song of Moses and Miriam that was sung after God's mighty acts of deliverance, using Moses and going through the Red Sea, delivering God's people from slavery in Egypt. It is the same song that will be sung by those who are victorious in the end, as it says in Revelation chapter 15. And as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ this Advent season, we also look at another important Advent song, the Song of Zechariah. The Song of Zechariah is rather miraculous, actually. You remember Zechariah, don't you, serving in the temple of the Lord, and when the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he was going to have a child, he and his wife Elizabeth, and that they should call him John. He would become John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Lord in preaching a message of repentance and bringing people to faith. But Zechariah, he doubted the angel, and he said, "How can I be so sure of all of this?" And for that, for such doubt, he remained silent. The angel made him silent, unable to speak throughout the whole pregnancy. So you see, the fact that Zechariah even has a song to sing is quite miraculous. But the reason for singing is because of the Lord God coming to his people and saving them through the one that John the Baptist would tell them about. Today's scripture reading is really a praise song, an Advent praise song. It's Zechariah's praise song, and it's included in that playlist with Mary's song in Luke chapter 1, right before the songs of the shepherds and the angels, and the song of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Dr. Luke, I think, must have been a musician as well as a physician. I think he loved singing, he loved songs. Next week, we look at Mary's praise song. But Zechariah's praise song comes after a long time of thinking about it. Oh, about 9 months or so, in silence. Zechariah doubted, his doubt is a stark contrast, really, to Mary's song. She believed what the angel said, and we still sing about and talk about the faith of Mary to this day. Back in verse 62, it says the people made signs to Zechariah to find out what he should name the child at John's circumcision. So when he said that the child's name would be John, of course, going against tradition, going against long-held belief that your firstborn son would be named after the father, that is, after Zechariah was obedient, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosened, it says, and he praised God. Like Mary, Zechariah bursts into praise. Bursts into this praise song. He just had to speak. He just had to praise God for the fulfillment of this long-awaited promise from God. A child, a son, one who would prepare the way for the Lord, the Elijah who was to come according to the Old Testament prophecies. That's John the Baptist. That's this child that they had. Zechariah had some time to reflect on God's words and his silence. He also looked forward to a day when God would redeem his people from their moral confusion, their apathy, their state of sinfulness. He looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So Zechariah's song begins. First, his song begins by declaring that in Christ, God comes in strength. That in Christ, God comes in strength. Verse 67 says that the Holy Spirit also played an important role in Zechariah's song. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he begins his praise saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." The God of Israel has come. He has redeemed his people. This is common in the songs of the Bible where the songwriter is rehearsing the history of God with his people. How God saved his people in the past, and that great and wonderful God is with us today. And Zechariah is doing something very similar here. He mentions two great promises of God to his people. The first promise to David, the promise to David. "He has raised up a horn of salvation," it says, "for us in the house of his servant David." Well, first, what is a horn? What is this talking about, this horn thing? It's something like the horn of an ox. This is symbolic for strength and power. Just like in biblical poetry, biblical songs use unique language to convey truth. And in that day, the horn of an animal, the horns of an ox, the horn of a rhinoceros showed strength and power. So that's what he's saying here. God has raised up a strong and powerful king, a horn of the likes of King David of old. In fact, God is doing what the prophet said would happen a long time ago. God is remembering his promise to Abraham as well in Genesis chapter 12. He remembers his covenant promises, and he keeps his promises. God's long-awaited promised deliverer will come in strength and power, and he will fulfill Zechariah's own desire, not only to be rescued, but also to be enabled. It says in verses 74 and 75, to be enabled to serve God without fear, in holiness, in righteousness, all of his days. Zechariah longs for vindication. Maybe, it's a vindication, national political vindication from the Roman Empire who were oppressing the Jewish people of that day. But maybe it was a deeper vindication he looked for, deeper salvation. In Christ, God is coming to his people again. In Christ, God is coming in strength to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. That's why Jesus was born, to save his people from their sins. So second this morning, in Christ, God comes as king and as a light. God comes as a king and as light. The focus of Zechariah's praise song is surprisingly not about his son, John the Baptizer. I mean, if I were Zechariah or Elizabeth, I'd be singing God's praise for the birth of my child. But the focus is really on the promised one, the long-awaited Messiah. Zechariah knows through the working of the Holy Spirit that his son John would be a prophet of the Most High, it's called in verse 76. In the first part of his song, he sings about God coming in strength to save his people through the Messiah. After a quick mention of John and what he will do in verse 76, it quickly swings back to, without even a period, to the Messiah and what he will do. In the second half of the song, Zechariah sings about God coming in Christ, not only as king, but also as light. The Benedictus, the Benedictus, as this song is usually referred to traditionally, it explains John the Baptist's work of going before, of preparing the way for Jesus. His job description includes, in verse 77, giving his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. This knowledge of salvation and forgiveness of sins, of course, is only through the Messiah because of the tender mercies of God, as it says. And so the song quickly bounces back to the Savior and away from John. Zechariah sings of God's pardon, God's forgiveness, and salvation from sin through the light of God's Son, Jesus Christ. This coming Messiah was compared to the powerful King David in the song. He will be a horn of salvation. He will bring victory over the enemies of God's people, like God did in the past with Moses at the Red Sea. But this Savior will not merely be a political or national figure. He will come as a light. That is, he will come as a spiritual leader and deliverer, the light of salvation for the world. Verse 78 says, the rising sun, or literally the bright morning star, will come to us from heaven and to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he will guide our feet in the path of peace. You see, in Christ, God comes as light into the darkness of our world. He illumines our minds to understand. In Christ, God shines spiritual, moral light into our morally confused world, into the darkness of our sins, our sinfulness, and our temptations, into the heated arguments and broken relationships of our Christmas gatherings as families. Jesus shines his light there too. Zechariah praises God for this light, this clarity, this gift of the ages, for Jesus the Christ, the Holy One, was prophesied so long ago. And as the light of Christ comes into our world and into our lives, hopefully our character changes, and we reflect the glory and the light of God into this present darkness in which we live, as we live according to kingdom values, as we tell others about King Jesus too. And God's light reflects in unique ways through us, and then into our unique families, into our unique corners of the world. One of the interesting aspects of Zechariah's song is that even an old, pious, know-it-all priest can learn some new tricks. He can learn some lessons. Even Zechariah hadn't arrived yet at a place of spiritual perfection. He had some things to learn as an old man. He was in no position to question the messenger of the Lord. What did he think he was doing? There were still some things he had to learn about God, about God's word, about the will of God, and the working of the Holy Spirit in everyday life. And that's certainly something we can take home from this story, this song today too, that no one should be on cruise control Christianity. There's no such thing. No one ever coasts on the basis of past spirituality or the faith of parents or grandparents. In silence, Zechariah learned this lesson. Zechariah learned the lesson of humility. In silence, he learned this. And he publicly praises God as he bursts into this song because he could. He was able to sing out. And he had a song to sing to God. Maybe a song that he learned. Maybe a song that he wrote over and over again as he suffered in silence. No guarantee that he was going to speak again. He said they made signs to him. Does that mean he couldn't hear either? He didn't know what was going to happen. And during that time of suffering, during that time of struggle, during that time of wondering, the time of his wife being pregnant, he spent that time in deep reflection and writing this song. And when the suffering lifted, when his tongue was loosened and he was able to speak, he had that song in his heart ready to sing out to the Lord. Maybe even in older age, you too can learn to worship God in song if you haven't already. We all can learn new things. And God is always teaching us. The rising sun, the bright morning star, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. The rising sun, the bright morning star, will come to us from heaven. Not come from within us. We're not regurgitating anything. It's coming from above, coming from heaven, shining upon us, outside of the self. That's a stanza we can sing during our Advent. It's a promise that was fulfilled long ago and yet is still something we long for today. The promise that will be completely fulfilled when Jesus comes again. Praise be to the Lord God, for he has come to rescue his people again, offering a clean slate, fresh start, second chances. It's called grace, undeserved favor. The light has shone into our world. Jesus is the light of the gospel and light that shines through us as we reflect the glory of Christ into our world that desperately needs him. We reflect the light of Christ because we are praising God with the praise songs of our lives that we live in him. And may we continue to overflow in gratitude as his people today, as we sing our songs of praise to the Lord for his great and mighty acts of history, but also his great and mighty acts he continues to work in our lives. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Would you pray with me? God of light and life, we humble ourselves before your glory and your majesty today. I pray that you would shine your light into all of the dark places of our world, which needs transformation. And I pray that your light would shine deep into all of our hearts, into every dark corner, so that as we confess our sins, as we receive your grace, as we worship in community, that we would be renewed, restored, refreshed, and sent into our world as your ambassadors of light. For we pray in the name that is above all names, even Jesus our Lord. Amen.